everybody across the land. Here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. 'Cause you're gonna find out after this theme. This Sequel Cast special is a go. This Sequel Cast special is a go. What's it gonna be about? What's it gonna be about? What's it gonna be about? Who knows?
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast special. This is the Sequel Cast finale. That's right, the final episode of the Sequel Cast. It's been a fun ride, but all good things must come to an end. I never claimed this was a good thing, but with me is Thrasher.
As we record this ultimate of ultimate episodes, I am sipping a wonderful 20-year-old rye Canadian Collinwood whiskey, and they're not paying me a dime. As I wet my beak, rest assured, they are not letting me wet my beak.
We also have Jason.
Hey, guys. I just want you to know, even though we're ending, I will be continuing my podcast of the Squeakle Cast.
Jesus.
You have no idea how right
that's
you
right.
are.
Yeah, as that's part of your Patreon, Thrasher, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. God. For information about the Squeakle Cast, just follow Internet Mayor on Twitter.
Or yell at me from across the street.
Yeah, we also have BJ.
You know, hey, this is not goodbye, because we'll all see each other again in the Sequel Cast, too.
damn you.
Boogaloo.
Why didn't I think that?
And we have a super fan of the show, Alex.
Woo!
He has a blog that is a lot of different movie stuff. I recall some of it was like Hammer horror film reviews.
Oh, yeah, that. I've actually kind of abandoned that for the time being. I've been doing a lot of writing for filminquiry.com and Pulp365 with Matt Curione.
Oh, you know Matt Curione. Okay.
Yeah, he actually kind of was the one that kind of brought me in on the whole internet blogging, movie writing stuff. But yeah, I will get back to that Hammer blog someday because I'm a big Hammer fan. So
very cool. I guess allegedly Matt Curione got that got one of his movie blogs from being on the Sequel Cast. He submitted his guest appearance on the Godfather 3 episode, and they really liked it. So,
That
means they didn't like me.
Nope. So yeah, I don't even know where to begin, but I guess Alex, I'll start with you. So how did you hear about the Sequel Cast? Because there is a zillion movie podcasts out there.
It actually kind of started with, I had a job where I got to listen to a lot of music or radio or whatever, so I got into trying to find fun and cool movie podcasts, and I stumbled upon the Criterion Cast, which led to the Auteur Cast, to the whole BP Fleet, and then I stumbled on you guys, and you seemed to be kind of like the funnest of the bunch, so I kind of went
in. Oh, thanks. You know, I've actually met Ryan Gallagher, one of the hosts of the Criterion Cast, because he also lives in Portland, Oregon. I bought a vacuum off of him off Craigslist, but I don't know if that counts as meeting. Suppose. But yeah, well, thanks for listening. You know, it's getting your little Shecky Spielboig bit in the mail was fun.
Oh, he might pop up. You never know.
Hey, our first special guest of the evening.
Shecky Spielboig on the line. That's fantastic. Do you have something you want to ask him, BJ?
Well, hey, so when are we going to see E.T. 2, E.T. E.T. kills everybody with some sort of horrific disease?
Well, there was actually a prequel written. It was called E.T. 3PO. It was a buddy picture. E.T. and, you know, CP3PO going around trying to get coups, you know. It was all right, but funding tanked, you know, international investors and whatnot.
Were you able to get Anthony Daniels back for C-3PO?
No, we had his cousin, Tony Daniels. I got to work with, you know, part of the union. You know how unions are.
Oh, yeah.
We're having a bit of a reunion here at the Sequel Cast special today. I'm sure we'll hear more from Shecky later in the show. Jason, when you
what
think
about me, Danny Glover.
Oh, Danny. Hey, Danny.
Danny.
I happen to be here with what's your name? Jersey Jason, sir? Yeah. I happen to be here with this son of a bitch.
So I take it by that you've been listening to our episodes since you first guested.
Yeah. My daughter taught me how to download podcasts. I don't understand, but I enjoy it.
Mr. Glover, I have a very important question for you. So in the movie Saw, your character gets shot in the throat, and then his voice gets kind of craggly. And I think as an actor, your performances have sounded craggly since then. So did you really shoot yourself in the throat for that scene in Saw? Are you that much of a method actor? Or why is your voice so scratchy now compared to...
I don't like this line of questioning. I'm going to go... No, Mr. Glover, don't go. Sorry, guys. That pushed him over the line.
He's trying to escape Mel Gibson.
Next time, we
son
need
of a bitch. He heard you.
Next time, we need to be more respectful to Mr. Glover.
Yes. Why does that keep happening?
Well, I think because you are a son of a bitch.
I think to keep things moving, we should kind of we'll. Each round robin a question of our choice, and everyone will take turns answering it.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, I want to read some nice tweets and Facebook messages we've gotten.
Yeah, I didn't agree to this.
Well,
oh, man, I already have a question for
think
you.
Think on your feet. Why don't you start, BJ?
Okay, so we at Kettlefish Reductions do a lot of Ghostbusters LARPs. And in it, the original cast of Ghostbusters are characters. And they are performing in Stripes sequels. What do you think the sequels to Stripes would be like?
I think they would be weird, especially if they were made now, and it was all the characters from Stripes, but they had gone career military, so it's all about them trying to retire from the military, like with benefits or a pension or something. They have to make it at least that long, but the military keeps trying to get them to retire early so they don't qualify for a pension. So, like, increasingly more and more horrible stuff keeps happening to them, but they have to keep sticking it out.
What if they worked at Guantanamo?
Okay.
Top goal for 10 years ago.
I think what I would do is I'd have, in a ghost-busting accident, Bill Murray's character kills himself. Like, he crosses the streams, right? And so he's dead, but with the ghost-busting technology, they preserve his ghost, and they put him in a military drone to be a spy on these demonic army recruits in a base in South Carolina.
He's Robo Venkman.
That is what Bill Murray's worst nightmare right there.
Oh, what if ISIS was working with Sam Hain?
A crossover sequel. Oh God.
The S in ISIS stands for Spectre.
And they're led by the evil ghost Osama Bin Laden.
Oh, now we have to put that in a game.
Yep. You heard it here first, folks, and possibly last.
Alex, what's your idea for a Ghostbusters Stripe spinoff?
I always kind of wanted to see. I was kind of thinking it would be cool if Ghostbusters kind of had a character where, like, they kind of have a charlatan, like Michael J. Fox's character and the Frighteners in there, but. Given the time, maybe it could have been like Orson Welles or something, but I actually think he might have been. I don't know if he's around still back then. I could just see him doing that. That'd be great. But nowadays, that would be cool. I don't know who else could fill in for some of, because Rick Moranis is gone, so. Not gone,
no.
But he's.
He's just retired. Oh, he's retired, right? Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of weird charlatan thing, and them kind of readjusting to, you know, modern technology and stuff, and them trying to, you know, immerse themselves in social media, not being able to handle it and all that. That would be kind of funny. But yeah, it would be great to see that bunch back together, but they're doing a Ghostbusters sequel. It's going to be it's going to be like an all-girl Ghostbusters or something, all-female cast or something like that.
There's an all-boys one they announced, too.
They're talking about it, yeah.
And I guess it's going to be the same universe or whatever.
Well, actually,
then they
what
could have an Avengers of Ghostbusters where girl Ghostbusters, boy Ghostbusters, and original Ghostbusters team up with the animated Ghostbusters and the Ghostbusters from the 1970s.
I would love to see the cast from the animated Ghostbusters dressed up as the animated Ghostbusters. With like the guys, wigs on and stuff, like the plastic wigs. It'd be great.
Jeffrey Eisenberg could be Egon.
With Channing Tatum announced as one of the Ghostbusters, I actually think it's the same movie that they're going to have these male Ghostbusters that are possibly in one of the other companies. And right. then the girls, like, they fuck up really bad. Channing Tatum and his guys fuck up really, really bad. And the girls have to come in and save the day. That's the way I'd like to see it happen. That doesn't mean that's going to be how it happens, but that's the way I'd like it to happen.
I just hope
I'd rather see a mixed gender crew as opposed to an all one or the other.
I would like to see
too much attention to it.
Yeah. I just hope we see different settings. I mean, New York City is fantastic, obviously, but quite a lot of movies are set there. Like, can't we get
like
Tokyo?
San Francisco or like New Orleans, Chicago.
What about a Tokyo Ghostbusters?
God, I'd love to see it.
Tokyo Chinese, Chinese Tokyo Ghost Story Busters.
The ghosts in Japan and China.
You know, you could get some really funny stuff going on if they were in China. Just the whole, like, they're foreigners running this business, and their property would not be protected by copyrights over there.
And Troy Hark and Ching Su Tung would have to direct and produce it.
Oh,
it would be awesome.
Nice pull.
Chinese Ghostbuster story.
Yeah, that's half a film right there.
Jackie Chan has to play some sort of ghost. God.
He should play a ghost Yoda.
Jackie Chan's like stunts. His grunts are the voice of Slimer.
Hey, speaking of which, we have another guest.
Slimer, how did you get on the phone? My phone hasn't been this sticky since 20 minutes ago. What happened?
Unlimited data plan.
You have an unlimited data plan? I wasn't grandfathered in. Why didn't you tell me, you fucking slime ball? Okay, so I can't fit on your friends and family plan. Can't you kick up one of your other friends? You're a damn ghost.
You're never going to girl.
No, I don't like AT&T either. I think the voice quality is inferior.
Good to see you working.
I'd save more by switching to Sprint.
Hey, guys, we got to stop Buzz marketing.
Okay.
I was about to ask if, you know, he's happy with his long-distance carrier.
You know, if your Ghostbusters car is broken, Mr. Slimer, or your the bus that you're driving in Ghostbusters 2, when you picked up the heroes and took them to take out the Vigo, the Magnificent, whatever the hell it was.
The Vigo, the Master of Evil, trying to bother my boys, it's not legal.
Yeah, Bobby Brown was, you know, when you're messing with my boys, that's not legal. So, with the Ghostbusters, you can get better insurance on your bus through Geico.
I'm talking about marketing. I'm here to talk about the sequel cast.
We do not have sponsorship, guys. We are not being sponsored by any of
these
people.
Yeah, they don't let us wet our beak.
Slimer's talking about sequel cast. We did do Ghostbusters episodes way back when on 1, 2, and then one on the cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't do that much more. We did a lot more comedy.
At the beginning.
Listen to that for the series.
What was that?
Oh, these are all the back episodes I have to re-listen to keep myself entertained after this.
Yeah, the quality is bad on the early ones. It gets marginally better as it goes on. I think some of the most interesting episodes of SequelCast to me is, for a brief time, I had a female co-host and I recorded in a studio in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. The Interbellum.
The Interbellum. So it's like Basic Instinct, Mad Max, RoboCop, and... those are an interesting listen. It certainly is the best audio quality of any of the sequel cast episodes.
That's one of my wishes. I wish we could have gone back and redone RoboCop with this crew.
What was that, BJ?
I just saw the remake of RoboCop, and I really liked it.
Really?
I thought it was a really good update of it.
I liked the stuff in Iraq in the beginning, or the Middle East. I thought was pretty interesting.
I think it had the same kind of social commentary stuff they were going for, You know, it's always hard to put aside the nostalgia, but if you go in expecting terrible things, you tend to be surprised.
A lot of training montages in that movie.
A very 80s throwback there.
Well, you have go on.
I couldn't wrap my head around a PG-13 RoboCop movie. That was my problem going into it, being a Paul Verhoeven fan.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they did pull off two animated series, including one where he didn't have a gun. He had a slime blaster.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Is that another guest or is that just you?
That's just Jason. Well, you were hinting on this, BJ, so I'll have this as my round robin question. Or actually, Thrasher, you hinted on this. I can't keep people straight. What do you wish we would have covered on SequelCast that we never did? You, Thrasher, you mentioned you would have wanted to do the Thrasher versions of RoboCop.
Yeah, although...
And with the regular crew, I mean.
The self... that absolutely. And the self-hating part of me says we should have done Police Academy, but part of me that loves this show and loves us all, I really wish we had done Superman.
Hmm. Yeah. One that I wish I would have done, even though I don't think it would have really counted, like it would have been kind of a weird one, like when we did the Wizard of Oz stuff where they weren't direct sequels exactly. I think it would have been good to do the Dune, David Lynch film, and then the two miniseries, Dune and Children of Dune.
Within like a special on Yoderowski's Dune and video games?
And coloring book.
I have a copy of that coloring book. I got it from PAX in 2008.
A lot of Dune out there.
Oh, gosh. Do you remember my Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, the We Married Gentlemen of Arrakis, the Dune operetta?
I do not.
Oh, it was great. I am the Baron Harkonnen, a very, 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 very lustful man. I lust for pleasure and I lust for food, and this has been my customary attitude. Oh. And I actually have that whole song written.
Wow. Alex, are you much of a Dune fan?
I am not. I don't know the books all that well, the original work, but I mean, I've seen the Lynch movie in and out more than a few times, and I have a copy of Yoderowski's Dune. I just haven't actually had the time to watch it just yet. But I haven't got dug into the miniseries, so I am curious. I hear they are really good.
The miniseries are a lot closer to the book, but like the budget is really low. Like the David Lynch Dune is pretty. The budget is quite large. Like those are real sets and real costumes.
Oh yeah, it was a big production. Yeah.
And Paul Atreides has a pug as his pet, which is just ridiculous.
Well, it's easy to transport in space.
Well, but I mean, there's a scene where the Atreides palace gets sacked by the Harkonnen guards, and you see this like pug wandering around by himself as everyone is dead.
Just like in the Herbert text.
Remember the tooth. Okay.
I had a song about that, too.
Jason, what's a round robin question for you?
I wish that we had touched a little bit more on some horror movies.
Mm. Yeah, because at the beginning we did like Reanimator, and then late we did Saw. But was that it as far as horror goes, I guess?
Yeah, because I want to talk about Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
I saw that for the first time in a theater last year.
Gross.
Such a bizarre movie.
Yeah.
I got a free VHS of that from a friend of mine that worked at a Blockbuster way back when.
Uh-huh.
And I ignored all the warnings that it wasn't had nothing to do with Michael Myers or the series. But being the completist that I went ahead and watched it anyway. It was just such a bizarre movie.
And yet I love that. I love Carpenter's balls that he would go and try to turn the Halloween franchise into an anthology where any movie could be about anything so long as it was connected to Halloween. That's such a bold, brilliant move. Well, it's a shame it didn't pan out.
It kind of reminds you of what they did with the TV series Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, where they were anthology series that all they had was the name of a franchise on it. Yeah. And perhaps like one Voorhees or Freddy Krueger episode. Actually, there's a few.
I remember they had Freddy hosting it.
Yeah.
For the Nightmare on Elm Street one.
And the Nightmare on Elm Street had an origin episode about Freddy getting, you know, burned alive. Done for television, of course.
also things like Hellraiser, Leprechaun,
Troll and Troll 2.
There you go. People Dead.
Candyman.
Yeah. Oh, Candyman. Let's not say it a third time.
You can take a rainbow.
Does it count if, as long as you, I thought it was as long as you had to have the one person say it.
Let's not risk it. Also, none of us can do Candyman's voice, so he can't be a guest.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The Candyman.
We could have done the Abbott and Costello monster crossovers too.
There's a lot
all
of those. Jeez.
Reversals. Daughter of Dracula, son of Dracula.
Blackula, son of Blackula.
Blackula.
Yeah, there's multiple Blackula. Yeah.
I thought it's just two Black. Isn't it just Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream? Or did they do a third one?
I think there's two.
I think it is just two, now that I think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my brings up my favorite line of Futurama. There's only three monsters. Dracula, Blackula, and Son of Kong.
That's pretty good.
Classic. My favorite Blackula joke was like, you know, you've been watching Blackula on Blaxploitation Theater. Coming up next, Blackenstein, followed by the Hunch Black of Blotra Blame.
He's right. You're so lame.
I guess there's one more question to go around before we talk about some feedback of fans' responses to the sequel cast wrapping up here.
Well, I got one.
Yes.
I have long advocated that we should do like an erotic film series, like, you know, the Bear Wench Project or like the Emmanuel movies, just kind of as
witchcraft,
like a weird format bending goof. Yeah.
Some Debbie Does maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But or Flesh Gordon and Flesh Gordon versus the Cosmic Cheerleaders. Cause that had a sequel too, but of like, of every movie that's out there, what's the movie that like you think might make a good episode that, you know, we'd never, ever do.
Sleepaway Camp.
I had always had my fingers crossed for a Chinese Ghost Story trilogy or one of the Hammer monsters. One of the Hammer series, the Frankenstein or the Draculas.
I love Chinese Ghost Story. Mr. Vampire would have been a fun one to do as
well. Mr. Vampire is great. Even Magic Cop or AKA Mr. Vampire 4, I think.
What about the Andy Warhol series? Andy Warhol's Dracula, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein.
Yeah. And Andy Warhol's Empire State.
I just got the Criterion DVD of Blood for Dracula in the mail the other day. I found it on eBay for like $22.
Nice.
That's just cheap enough to get.
Cool. Yeah, that is cheap for a Criterion.
You know, there's something actually I really wish we had done was Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite pieces of science fiction.
You mean just like the films then? I mean, there's so much.
You got to throw the TV series in there because they had a film that came after. So you had Ghost in the Shell 1, then you had Innocence, and then you had the standalone complex, two series of that plus a movie. Mm. And then they have a new series new OAV that came out and big changes and stuff. I love heady sci-fi because it kind of feels Blade Runner-y,
but
you didn't have a lot, you know, there wasn't a lot more we could do. There wasn't much to pull from for us to do a Blade Runner.
That's right. I mean, they are making
Blade Runner, just all the different cuts of Blade Runner.
Oh,
that would have been a fascinating experiment.
Ooh. Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to see a final cut of Blade Runner in a theater. You know, 2007 or whenever that was, and because I was a bit too. And I would have been like 1 year old or something when the original came out, or less than a year old, actually. I was born in 82. And seeing that in the theater, I think like it really plays better in a theater than at home because you can see those big cityscapes. But I'm one of the assholes that kind of likes the narration in the theatrical cut.
Oh, yeah?
Like it gives it a bit of flavor. Otherwise, it's just almost like Kubrickian silence as it pans on this cityscape for a solid like 5 minutes in the beginning.
Yeah, there's the thing with me is just that I just laughed when I heard one of the lines because Harrison Ford was like really trying to tank the narration, so like there's a high pitched thing in his voice. It just cracked me up. I couldn't take it seriously.
It's like Harrison Ford is doing his nerd voice.
Yeah, yeah. Like the first line, like when he's in the club talking to Daryl Hannah there, and the first line I think is like, "There's no ad for a killer" or something like that.
Yeah. They say this was a strip club, but I was the one being stripped.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of Harrison Ford.
Moon, Mary, I can bring down the moon for you.
What about Harrison Ford, BJ?
So, am I the only one who's kind of worried about the new Star Wars sequels?
No, he'll be...
Yeah.
Just in general, I'm kind of worried about them. I'm worried that it's going to be two Abrams and not enough Star Wars.
I want to enjoy them, but I guess my kind of stance is I've put myself in a perfectly neutral position. If I hear the right things from the right people, I am going to see it. But if not, I think I'm kind of content to let it pass me by, and I can still be happy with the parts of Star Wars that I like. I can still cherish those.
I like how obtuse the teaser was. Like, you have, like, that...
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'll admit, like, for Battleship Retention, I have a weekly column called Sequel Saturday, and I absolutely wrote an article about that teaser, even though there was nothing to write about it. Like, oh, there's
I
a
think
stormtrooper
everybody did
in
that,
smoke.
Though.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I wonder if in the next trailer, it'll be like a trailer with all
like
the new guys.
The teaser gave us so little, and the one thing that everyone's talking about is lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think that's a lightsaber.
See, also, to me, what bothered me more was some of the shot angles were much more J.J. Abrams than classic Star Wars. Like the feet of the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like that's something you don't see in a Star Wars film.
I don't think that's so bad. You still have speeder chases. You still have,
one speeder that we've seen so far.
But I mean, you know what? If there's a smoke monster shows up, I'm out. I'm walking out of the theater.
I think
another sort of another sequels that I really would have liked to have seen us tackle, but it would have taken over a year. All the Bonds.
Bonds.
There are that's
a lot of
marathon.
Podcasts that cover it already, but that
there is. I mean, there's a really good one called the Bond Cast by the guys that do Rebel Force Radio.
There's also James Bonding with Matt Gourley and Matt. Oh shoot, Matt Gourley and Matt.
Yeah, I heard the one of those that was a live show they did with Larry Miller as a guest. But yeah, certainly I think James Bond seeing Skyfall in a theater. It was the strangest thing because it's certainly a generational film series, right? Your grandpa might have watched it. Like, you know, it goes across all these different generations. And it was like a mixture of younger and older people in the theater. And when you get to see James Bond get in the Aston Martin, the theater cheered. And then when the car has the guns pop out of it, the theater gave a standing ovation to a car.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that before.
That car, though, to be fair, is an amazing actor. It's actually all up for the part of Christine in the remake of Christine.
And the sad part is I would believe that.
Hell of an agent.
Nothing but supreme.
Hey, Matt, can you edit this in? James Bonding with Matt Myra and Matt Gourley.
I'm not going to edit that in, but thank you for saying that.
So that's about, another staple of the sequel cast.
What about Pirates of the Caribbean? That would have been an interesting series to do.
I actually like the
supposed
fourth.
To be in the one.
Yeah, they're filming a fifth one. Johnny Depp got injured on the set.
Groin?
He was fucking too many coconuts. Yeah, I don't know, but no, he got injured. But I actually
been making some really bad choices lately. That might be his best bet for a decent film.
I thought the fourth one was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the guy from Deadwood as the bad guy.
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane, yeah. I thought it was more fun, a much simpler storyline.
I think they just went too big with two and three. They tried to go too big, and it really feels more like an anthology-type series than a direct sequel setup.
So what you're saying is they jumped the Kraken.
Oh!
Yeah.
I think they humped the Kraken.
There's a bit too much cheese... that doesn't work. I was going to say like cheese spread across too much Kraken.
Hey, could we do that? That's not bad. You know where I like to get deep southern fried seafood Crack and Barrel.
Crack and Barrel.
God.
Did we do Jaws again?
Do some reader comments from Facebook with my idiotic picture of me slapping myself. your friend Jason Russell says SQLcast has been a welcome part of my week ever since Jason mentioned to me 5+ years ago. One of my favorite moments is when an angry Danny Glover hung up and Morgan Freeman came out of nowhere to talk about Lethal Weapon 4. Much luck in the
That's
future,
right, Morgan Freeman.
To all the SQLcast hosts. Thrasher, I think we're getting a call from Morgan Freeman.
I remember the first time I came on the SQLcast.
Oh, wait, now we're getting a call from his friend, Shecky Spielberg. How you doing, Morgan?
Wonderful to see you, Shecky.
Now
you
got to
have the money.
You got to be in my film I'm making. It's called 4 to 8 Hours 3.
When did you come from the South, Shecky?
I really don't know, but when I did 48 Hours 3, this thing is going to have you, Morgan Freeman, in the pot of Eddie Murphy. You'll be older. Ironically, Nick Nolte will be reprising his role. He has an age to date.
Hey, wait a second. It's me, Danny Glover. I'm back. When are we making the Color Purple 2?
The Color Purple 2, jeez. You know what I'll do? I'll call it 48 Colors Purple. It's going to be a crossover.
I have to ask you, do I have a lot of narration in this film?
Ironically, your character's a mute.
I've always wanted to act with my eyes.
We'll make you suck helium the whole time, so if you speak, you sound stupid. That way you keep your damn mouth shut.
I don't think that will be necessary, Shecky. The helium is an extravagant expense.
There's going to be so much purple, we're going to call it purple rain. But for some copyright issues, we can't do that.
I'm seeing double. 2 Shecky Spielbergs.
Not only is it going to have purple rain, it's going to have purple thunder, if you know what I mean. Just stick to the end credits.
Speaking of rain and thunder, it would bring me undue pleasure if I could watch the two of you, Shecky Spielberg, pleasure each other.
Hey, what about me?
That's a good place to stop that image there.
Yes.
With Gary Marshall? You don't want to see Gary Marshall make love?
call me Gary.
Not to himself.
Now, Gary, I heard you wanted to do a Pretty Woman sequel, but it would be...
Yeah, Prettier Woman. We couldn't find anybody prettier than Julia Roberts.
She is a treasure.
Wouldn't be the next... Shouldn't you do that one in, like, Bangkok, and you could do Pretty Lady Boy?
Hey, the way I see it, any act of love between two consenting adults is a transcendently beautiful thing.
You know what else is an exceedingly
beautiful...
Was
that supposed to be,
sounds like a bad Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
When we did the two Jakes, we did bad Jack Nicholson's in stereo for 48 glorious minutes.
That's our least downloaded episode.
That was one of my favorite sequel class moments.
Cool.
I don't know what you mean, Pally. I don't know. That was
great.
Yeah. So some more comments here off Facebook. Kent said, "Aw," and then a sad face.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Yeah, if memory serves, I'm not sure if it's Kent, but I'm pretty sure it is. We had a fan of the show that had a very personal Harry Potter story that he shared with us that we talked about on one of the Harry Potter episodes. So go listen to some of those for that one. Stephen Huss said, "I'm definitely going to get episodes of the Airport Retrospective. That series was gold." We did that because it was suggested by, why can't I think of people's names?
Was it suggested by that supervillain, the Suggestor?
No, it was the co-host of the AuteurCast.
Cool.
West Anthony. West Anthony. Thank you.
I would think that'd be right up Thrasher's Avenue. I mean,
well,
airplane.
I loved it.
Yeah.
We never did get a chance to talk about that airport sketch from Kids in the Hall, though. about the amazing just as there are amazing similarities between Kennedy and Lincoln, Kevin McDonald has amazing similarities between his family reunions and the airport movie series.
We also got some notes from Twitter. Ryan Gallagher, host of the Criterion Cast, said, "Congratulations on your decision. It's hard to admit when it's time to stop and do something else." That's true.
You could have added, "Am I right, ladies?" to the end of that and been a complete creep.
Right. Matt Curione said the show will be missed. Another fan of the show, Johnny2900, says, "It's unfortunate to hear that, but I can see you're leaving with good intentions. Look forward to your future endeavors." And friend of the show, Ryan, of the Super Mario Brothers, the movie Archive, says, "Sad to hear that SequelCast is going away. Be sure to enjoy it while it lasts. Can't wait to see what Matt does in the future." So that's a...
And
that's
all these episodes,
really nice.
These episodes will still be up.
Well, until the end of April.
What?
Yes, because it costs money to host podcast episodes, but I will have them available on a disc people can get if they want it.
Good man, good man. And you're still going to write, right?
Oh, I see. That's a good pun you did there, Jason. Very good. yes, I write reviews for Battleship Pretension. Probably going to do some more of those. Haven't done those in a while. And yeah, I have a long in the works sort of book of film criticism centered around a particular action movie star that I really want to sit down and do. And I want to do some more. I developed a text.
Oh, adventure. I think I remember who that was.
Yep.
Tim Thomerson.
Tim Thomerson. Yeah. No. And I also last December came out with a text adventure computer game called Frankenstein Bastard's Daughter. And I'd like to work on like some an iPhone app or maybe a sequel to that. I'm not really sure, but.
If only we could have covered it on the Video Game Sequel Cast. Maybe we can do a special episode if you do a second one.
Nope.
Oh, well. Hey, I got some messages.
Sure.
So I got two. One is from a friend, Stephen Black, who's a regular listener of the show. Is also a listener to my gaming podcast, D-Infinity Live. You can see that at d-infinity.net. He's a director at Dramascape, dramascape.net. Plug! But he, you know, he says, "Thanks for recording." And I don't see him nearly enough, so I'm glad that, you know, I still have a connection with him through these podcasts. And then my wife, Sarah, her comment is a frowny face.
And she's sad because she gets to spend time with you now on Wednesday nights.
Don't ruin this, Matt. Don't ruin this!
Again, she doesn't need to know that you're not recording. You can just...
That's true. I can just stand and talk and just have like one half of a conversation, which I may or may not have done. I cannot confirm or deny that.
That's right, Matt. Matt, can you hear me? I'm having a bad connection. Just keep that going for an hour.
Okay, well, we'll try this again. Wow, wasn't Spaceballs crazy?
Mel Brooks is doing a Spaceballs 2, but he can't get Rick Moranis to act again?
He should get George Lucas to make him an animatronic Rick Moranis.
Did anybody besides me...
Moranis?
Oh, what was that?
Just do a CGI one. Do a CGI Rick Moranis, and then have somebody do a Rick Moranis impression.
We'll call him Trick Moranis, because he's a CGI trick.
Well, the trick is you also do Rick Moranis as if Rick Moranis was doing a Jar Jar Binks impression.
All you got to do is you get him in for a week, you do motion capture, and then you just
do it over there. Yeah.
I bet it's even a mocap suit. Or you could get the animated Rick Moranis from Gravedale High to do it. Remember that show?
I would kill just to see Rick Moranis in one of those motion capture suits. Oh my God, can you imagine?
Just like the skin tight motion capture suit, and then Rick Moranis looking kind of dumpy at the ground. And like, why did I agree to fly all the way from my beloved Canadian home to LA in a sweatshop to eat like peanut butter sandwiches that Mel had left over from the night before? And he says, "Okay, walk like this. Again, again.
Again."
Yeah, I. You know, I don't. A part of me wants a Spaceballs 2, and then I remember Mel Brooks produced and wrote a animated series on Spike TV, Spaceballs, the animated series, and that
was
awful.
As good as you might think.
Although it had like Bill Pullman reprised his role, Daphne Zuniga reprised her part.
Did a pretty passable John Candy impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we've also lost Joan Rivers. So
yeah.
Well, Kathy Griffin would have to be the sister robot.
Or Chelsea Handler.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Kathy Griffin bot.
Grifftron. Not to be confused with Grifftron from the Transformers, who was a Decepticon who ran con games.
Is that a real Transformers?
I bet there's one named Grifter.
There's an episode of the old Transformers cartoon where they go back in time to meet up with King Arthur.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that used to be pretty standard.
It was also a plot in the Dennis the Menace cartoon. Yeah,
that was also an entire cartoon where the football team goes back in time.
That's right.
Wasn't Orson Welles in
that? Orson Welles was in the Transformers movie.
As Unicron.
He did it right before dying. Allegedly, he died before he could record his lines, and they used some of Leonard Nimoy to really deepened to replace some of his dialogue.
Well, now they can't even do that. That sucks.
That's a guy.
Apparently, like Orson Welles' reaction to getting the script is, is this what it's come to now? I'm playing the voice of a planet.
I feel like at that point, he might have said that so many times, the poor guy.
Orson Welles, at that point, he did the voiceover for the movie trailer for Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, that's right. And the Nostradamus TV movie, The Man Who Could See Tomorrow. I think it's like spinning a globe, you know. That was a great like homesick from school movie I remember watching.
And then, of course, there's Mondavi wine commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the critic.
We should have just done a whole episode about Orson Welles commercials and weird parts.
Oh, look, there's a french fry stuck in my beard.
Oh, yes, yes. Or even better when you're dead.
What is that, Thrasher? You were going to say something?
I'm saying that rosebud frozen peas are full of country goodness and green penis. Oh my god, that's terrible.
Just a few more for the road.
I miss that remember, voice so much.
Remember when he played Le Chief in Casino Royale?
Yeah, and he did magic in real life, and he only agreed to do the part if he could do some of his magic act on film.
There's a really awesome book. It's called My Lunches with Orson, written by director Henry Jaglom. It's a good read. Check it out.
Yeah, I did read that from the library there. They have a story of how, I guess there was some film critic that was so annoying that the hotel he'd stay at, they would gradually replace his tea with pee until towards the end it was all piss. You know, and he would go to other places to order tea and complain. They don't make it like they do in my hotel.
Is he getting drunk off the tea and that's why he can't tell?
It's mostly urine. I don't know. It's what he's used to. But yeah, I mean, Orson...
Most people haven't tasted urine, so maybe it's difficult to tell.
You're in trouble if you do. Orson Welles, you know, is quite catty in that book. It's a lively read. And it took a long time for them to compile that. It took a long time for them to compile the book because the master tapes were in such bad quality and recorded in restaurants too. So you have plates clacking.
You can hear Orson Welles talking around his food.
You can hear the clam drippings from his beard.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. While I'm eating these clams, go around the corner and get me some hot dogs.
Yeah, there's
clams.
Yeah, there's notes about. What they ate and stuff. Some book I read.
I thought that was funny.
Some book. There was an Orson Welles story where he says, where someone's looking for him in his house and he sees him hunched over a huge bag of Fritos, and he says, "The best part about eating Fritos is if nobody sees you eat them, you've never eaten them, as far as they know."
I want to start applying that to everything. The best part about shooting heroin is if nobody sees you do it, you've never really shot heroin.
Can you imagine going to Orson Welles' house? Orson, Orson, you were supposed to have coffee. And you see him huffed over. He has like a bag of Fritos attached to his mouth, like a feed bag.
No, he's like his beard.
his beard is stuffed in there too. And like you see him breathe out really quick, and the feed bag like blows off his mouth, and there's Fritos sprayed everywhere.
Okay, here's what we do. It's a remake of the Beethoven movies, except a family adopts Orson Welles. His throat, and I'm just going to ruin breakfast. And he just jumps on the table, and it collapses, and food goes everywhere.
And it's called Orson Around.
That's the topper. Oh!
I just get this feeling that it should be so Steve Martin needs to be in there for some reason. I don't know why.
Play the flustered dad. That's what he does when he's not doing good movies.
He can also be the voice of Frito Chip number 3.
It's a psychedelic dream sequence where everyone's a Frito. Good market product tie-in synergy. They're wetting their beaks. Copyright us. All of that.
Does anybody really like barbecue Fritos?
Never have.
Are those the twisted ones? I kind of like them.
Yeah. Well, the twisted is honey barbecue, actually. They used to have plain old barbecue flavor.
Yeah.
That was
right.
A bit spicier. I don't know if they might sell it still in the South. Have you seen them lately at a gas station, BJ?
No, I haven't. Usually it's the honey barbecue or the chili.
Chili.
You know what
You never had the chili flavored Fritos?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they make them out here on the West Coast. They're pretty good.
You're a bunch of sissies up there in the Northwest Coast.
New Orleans chips.
You and your dream of 90s.
Well, that's very true. I mean, Portlandia gets a lot right, except they film it in the summer when it's sunny, and that's incorrect.
Man, you know what I've noticed? This is the weird world, the hellish dystopian future we live in. Every non-salt flavored chip I've ever tried, I absolutely hate the way it tastes, but I can't stop eating it.
I love salt and vinegar chips. I think those are amazing. And it's kind of like the flavor is so strong from the vinegar, you have to pace yourself.
They grow on you. I didn't like them originally, and then it grew on me.
Alex, you had any of those special limited time flavored Lay's potato chips?
No, I haven't actually, but the Cape Cod potato chips, the salt and vinegar ones are awesome. They're so strong, but I just kind of go into fat kid mode. I just keep eating them till my tongue is numb.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so welcome to the Sequel Cast. We're a podcast that talks about chips one bag at a time.
you can't
listen to just one.
Yeah, we watch so many movies. We got to have our munchies.
Well, why don't we do that as a question? I think before then we give closing thoughts to round this very special episode out. What's your favorite movie munchie? If you're going to sit down and then your drink, right? So, what's your favorite movie food or drink if you're going to be at home? Cuddling up on the couch with your significant pet.
I'll go. I like pizza and beer. And specifically, I'm actually drinking right now Parrish Cane Brick. It's a wheat beer with a little bit of sugarcane syrup.
What kind of...
stop this marketing.
What kind of pizza?
You know what? I'm not a wealthy man, even though I'm making that good government money now. It's DiGiorno.
DiGiorno is better than Red Baron, or heaven forbid, the grocery store garbage brand.
So it's not delivery?
No, it's not. Well, it's delivery as in I picked it up in my car, drove it to my house, then heated it up, and put it on a plate in front of me.
You're delivering it to your belly.
Who orders delivery anymore? I always drive to pick up pizza when I order out.
Me too.
Why am I going to pay that guy, extra $3 when I can spend less than that to drive over there?
I kind of have a
30 minutes or it's free. Oh, those were glorious halcyon days.
What is that, Alex?
I kind of have a beef with DiGiorno because I felt like it kind of muscled out. I wanted to hear Sam Elliott ask me what I wanted on my tombstone more often. Yes. That was kind of awesome, but then it's not delivery. DiGiorno took over.
Well, why don't you tell him? He's right here. What you want on your tombstone?
Pepperoni?
Okay, gotcha.
New York City?
We're here in the big city.
Should we just have like a throwback commercial podcast? Is that
no? There's a lot of good ones.
We're getting it all out now. It's our last chance.
Alex, what do you like as your movie munchy and movie drinky?
Well, it's hard to pass up pizza and beer. It's a classic combo, but I can always dig on some Chinese food. I can always get a whole ridiculous amount of takeout. Or so much delivery to the point, because they have like a cutoff some places, they'll only deliver if you get like $40 or more worth of food.
Wow.
So you just kind of get that much when you're just being crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Movie days.
I love Chinese food, especially like teriyaki chicken, an egg roll. Just that's one of my like just regular watching food is. If we had good takeout in the South here for like Indian, I could a good curry and like a good movie.
Hey, Jason, is that Chinese place still right there across from the library?
Oh man, that one.
Yeah, Sakura.
God, I used to get like I used to eat 2 days on that, man.
Yeah.
So much rice. Remember that Korean place we went to that also had hush puppies and fried chicken on the menu? Because no one knew what a Korean restaurant was.
Oh, I do remember that.
You get bim bim bop. Mm.
Is that the one where we went?
Hey, the pickled vegetables weren't bad.
No. The chicken bulgogi was so good. Oh my goodness.
Is that the one we went to on your birthday?
Yeah, it was a bit of a drive and not a terribly great part of the outskirts of Savannah. But
that's the one where I ordered a meal that they couldn't believe I ordered, so they had to explain the meal to me, and then refused to believe me when I said that's what I wanted. And then while I was eating it, like three different people were watching my reaction. Oh, I loved it though. It was a spicy squid dish.
You gotta love it when foreigners watch you eat foreign food.
That happened to me when I was in Tokyo. I intentionally went to the Akira Kurosawa's restaurant.
Ooh.
And I knew a little bit of Japanese, not very much, but after the meal, my travel guide said to do this and to go up and ask for a discountu, to get a discount, right? And I did that at the end. They stared at me and blinked and sort of cocked their head to the side. I said, discountu. And they said, ah. And what they did next was amazing. They took me upstairs to the private dining rooms, which cost several hundreds of thousands of yen to go into, and showed me personal props from Kurosawa's film, which is not what I asked for, but it was better than like a 10-buck discount off my meal. And it was like armor from Kagamusha, I think some hand-painted artwork from Rand, I think a sword or something from Rashomon. It was pretty good.
Was there anything from 1948 or 1941? Whatever the hell.
You have me so hot right now.
That's not a Kurosawa film, so.
Oh, that's right. Mifune. Toshiro Mifune's in that. I got him confused.
But. And I was disappointed on the menu they did not have Akira Kurosawa. But.
Or Tim.
But
was there at least like a drink at the bar, the Akira Kurosawa?
No, but that's a far better joke.
That was good. That was good, BJ.
That was a good one, BJ. And good dry.
Well, you think I'm incapable of coming up with a joke?
Well, no, now we finally have enough for our book of puns.
Whiskey and sour.
Cocktails, but it's tales like in a story because there's a little anecdote to go with each pun that's also a cocktail.
If I'm okay, so
too bad there wasn't a sequel to Cocktails.
So when I guess my favorite movie food and drink is I enjoy like a cheap bourbon on the rocks as a drink, something I can sort of sip. And for food, I like kettle corn, if I can find it. That's sweet salty popcorn mixture.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess for me, if I haven't had a meal, pizza, but in general, because I tend to go into the movies with a mostly full stomach, I love to have a Dr. Pepper with a splash of vodka in it. And then the thing that I love more than anything is homemade popcorn. Homemade popcorn made with mostly butter and a little bit of vegetable oil. Sometimes, if I'm feeling like decadent, a spoonful of bacon grease. Oh man, that is so good.
God, remember when we used to do that, like that, like buttery popcorn in your old place, the downstairs apartment.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh God, I remember that little hole in the wall.
Right.
Oh yeah. Watch Doctor Who and eat that amazing popcorn.
Once you have stovetop, you cannot go back to microwave. I haven't had microwave in years. I
damn always right. Do stovetop.
Yeah, that's a really good option to go. At one point, I had a Hello Kitty popcorn maker that used hot air to pop the kernels.
The air popper and the Hello Kitty, that's awesome.
But the problem with the air popper is you don't get the flavor from the oil, really. Like, the popcorn just tastes like paper.
It's just too healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to add something to it.
But I like your bacon grease idea.
Or maybe really some, like, breakfast sausage grease, too, would be pretty good.
Ooh.
Throw a little maple syrup on top of it. Then
popcorn cast, everybody.
Yeah, popcorn.
If you need some good pea corn, you can go to sequelcast.com and you can order our sequelcast pea corn starter kits.
Do 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 do. That's a song called Popcorn, people. Jokes are always funnier when you explain them, except they're not.
Earlier, when I said beep, beep, that was a reference to Tim Curry, who we have mentioned 3 times, and so we summoned him.
I thought he'd be dead by now, but he's not.
Don't act so disappointed, man.
He had a stroke.
Your dreams, Matt.
He had a stroke 3 years ago. I still want to see Ginger Clown, which I think you can see on demand from Amazon or something. I don't think it ever got a DVD release in the States. It was a Europe. Have you heard about this one, Alex?
It's, no, I haven't.
So
actually,
this was a European horror film made a few years ago that was filmed in 3D but never released in the U.S. in 3D. And it was a retro 1980s movie set in America, or I don't know if it's set in America, but it's set in a carnival, a dilapidated carnival. And it features Tim Curry as the voice of the evil titular Ginger Clown. Lance Hendrickson does the voice of some other freak. I think Daryl Hannah does a voice of something.
Wow.
It looks,
I'll see what it is, just hating on the gingers.
It looks really bad, but even if it's just a voice, hearing Tim Curry do a clown character again.
Or Emperor Palpatine. He's quite good.
That was so weird. I was about to bring that up.
Yeah. Tim Curry is Palpatine in the last few episodes of Clone Wars.
Oh yeah, he's got a magnificent voice. I'll never see the Annie remake, but I was hoping he would have like cameoed in it or something. But
as Rooster, you know.
Yeah. he could have shaped him out. Play a terrifying Daddy Warbucks. Let's rent out the Roxy Annie.
Kind of starting to sound like Sean Connery. Oh,
is Sean Connery here?
Oh, James Bond, Sean Connery, actually.
And I'm Zardoz, Sean Connery.
Oh, hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I just finished beating up people.
Oh, that's great.
Speaking of sequels, what about the Celebrity Jeopardy they did on the anniversary edition of Saturday Night Live?
That was great.
It was brilliant.
It's a good return.
Is this the fifth episode in a row where we've talked about the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special?
It was pretty good. Who reads whore ads? Let it snow. Let it snow.
No. Let it snow. I'm glad that they can say that on primetime now.
But they had to bleep out bastard on the West Coast feed for Bill Murray singing about Jaws. Yeah.
Really?
You bastard Jaws.
People enough. They were worried enough people would object over there.
God. What gets me is the that midnight sketch with Chris Hardwick, the whole thing where he's going on and on about pussy, and how that word was not bleeped, yet the eat was.
That's the part people don't like.
He did one joke that showed what I think it was like a diagram of a baby and a woman, and they had to censor it.
Yeah, because it showed a vagina. That was like an early one.
That was it was one of the first episodes.
Actually, in a horrible attempt to tie this back into cinema, what's your favorite nude scene?
I think that's a good question to do right before the last question about final thoughts of sequel cast. So let's do favorite nude.
So three more questions, and then the nude question.
What? Three more? Oh, okay, it's the last episode. Sure.
Let's get decadent.
Oh, my. Okay, so...
Oh my.
I'll do a question here. out. So Marvel announced a shitload of superhero movies coming out over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. Not counting the Avengers, which one are you looking forward to the most?
As much
Civil
as I...
War.
Ooh.
Captain America 3 Civil War?
Yes.
With Spidey!
Just because having seen the last trailer for Avengers, I can see where that's going to happen now. I can see where Tony Stark is going to break with them and the whole thing can like get set off.
Cool. Yeah, Avengers 2 looks quite morose compared to the first one.
It's definitely the Empire.
Yeah, definitely. I guess the one I'm looking forward to is... the new Spider-Man reboot that Marvel's doing. How they're going to try and tie that in with stuff, if they are at all. And I
thought that he was just cameoing. I didn't know he was getting a whole movie.
He is. He's getting like at least two or three of them. Like Sony is going to finance and co-produce it, but Marvel is going to have most of the creative control. And they're going to go with a 16 or 17-year-old, from what I understand.
But, are they doing Peter Parker or somebody else?
They haven't said yet.
Because it's just weird. Like Spider-Man's one of those like iconic characters that the people who know Spider-Man who are not comic book people are not going to know anybody who's not Peter Parker. And right. I think that would be an off-putting thing for some people.
I still kind of want Donald Glover as Peter Parker. I think he'd be good.
Yeah.
I love the idea of actually casting a teenager. That would be pretty bad.
I would rather see him in a Static Shock show.
Oh, damn right.
Yeah.
I would love to, because I love what they're doing with Arrow and Flash and stuff. I love that tone brought to Static.
That'd but you good. Know they're going to make it a movie and it's going to star Jaden Smith.
Oh, God. The DC movie universe is so messed up. They should just focus on short form. That's their best.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the direct-to-video cartoons aren't bad either, the DC stuff. Like Dark Knight Returns.
Wonder Woman one was awesome.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think that's because it's under Warner Brothers' radar.
Mm. Jason, what's out of the Marvel stuff? Which one are you excited for?
Oh, I already had my nude question answer. Okay, Marvel?
Is it the same answer?
No. I was going to go...
Because Inhumans is going to be all nudity all over the place.
No, but I am. I'm very interested in Doctor Strange. I'm really interested to see how that goes with...
Good call.
Nigel Cumbersnatch. What's his name?
Wilberforce Spanglegram.
See, that's what's all. I don't really like him for that part.
I would have rather.
I would have liked the guy who played the Martell in Game of Thrones. Who took on the Mountain? Yeah. God, he was a much better actor, and he looks the part. He could play.
The Littlefinger.
No.
Littlefinger.
House Martell.
See, why am I thinking of him? But he would be good too.
Tyrion chooses, and I can't.
Oberyn Martell.
Yes.
Oh, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah,
he's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Although Peter Dinklage as Doctor Strange would be pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
He was already in the X-Men movie, and he was pretty cool. But I would.
That's
like
a different
to see
universe.
Him. Yep.
Captain America used to be Johnny Storm.
True.
Mm.
How do we feel about Fantastic Four?
It looks like the movie. I don't know. I think they just want to like bury it, but I think they're already. We'll see. I mean, the first ones were goofy, at least, which was a different tone, and this just seems sort of ashamed it ever existed, and they just want to send it off to die.
Well, they gotta put it out, or they lose the rights, and that's the whole
right.
They're all afraid of losing all these superhero rights.
They should just get Roger Corman to do their Marvel movies every few years. They keep the rights and just repeat that process.
Thank you.
Aww.
Alice,
the thing is, people would like to see those. Like, there are those of us that would go buy that on a DVD.
Alex, is there a Marvel movie coming out that you're excited for?
The Civil War looks pretty awesome. My favorite Marvel character to this day is still the Punisher. It doesn't look like they're gonna reboot that again. But I
liked Punisher Warzone, actually.
Me too. Dominic West was great as Jigsaw.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot to like about it.
I mean, if you've read the Garth Ennis run on Punisher, it's similar tonally to that. I always wish they would do a movie of the, I think it was called Punisher Born, about his origin in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. There was like a year one series, I remember. And then there was the other one, like the Born one. Yeah. There's a lot of backstory that they didn't really explore in the comic. It was pretty intense. But the Captain Marvel also looks... I'd be excited for that, too, definitely.
Which is weird. If they're doing Miss Marvel, why, or they're doing the female, why didn't they go for Miss Marvel as opposed to Captain Marvel for the title? Since they're doing that version of Captain Marvel.
Because it doesn't need to be demeaned by having just like Mrs. or Miss. By having her as
but,
a
I mean,
captain.
Are they, to me, it sounds more like they're afraid to put a female lead title up on the screen where it's very obvious.
No, but that is... That is
they're not going to call it Captain Marvel lady parts.
No.
Although, do you think Sony would ever do a Dazzler movie?
I want to see a She-Hulk web series very much like they're doing with Daredevil. Ooh. Have her be lawyer by day, Hulk by night.
Oh, yes. And you know, and I would love to see just a She-Hulk movie in general. So, but you could have, what's his name? Oh God,
Mark Ruffalo.
Yes, come in and do. You know, you could have that way. You could have a Hulk movie, but not the stigma of Hulk movies.
Oh, and also you could have my cousin Mary Faber play Jennifer Walters.
Sure. Why not?
Nepotism, guys.
Funny. Very funny. She could work. I could totally see that.
So we need to get wrapped up on this. I have a screaming dog.
Can I say I'm looking forward to Black Panther?
Let's do the nudity question and then final thoughts.
Okay.
So favorite nudity.
I know what mine is. Trading Places. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know how many times I paused that movie. no, Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's a good scene, and that's a good movie. I saw it for the first time a few weeks ago.
This is a damn fine movie. What do you think, Mortimer?
was that Statler and Waldorf?
No,
no, it's a movie. I really like. I guess the scene in Showgirls where Christie Brinkley is fucking Kyle MacLachlan in the swimming pool and she's flapping around like a dead fish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's so... Okay, if I'm being serious, it would be the seduction scene that Jennifer Jason Leigh has with, I think, Rutger Hauer in the movie Flesh and Blood. That was a Verhoeven medieval film.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very auteur of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
BJ.
I really like some of the nude scenes in Ghost in the Shell, especially when she's nude in front of Bato and he's trying to maintain the modesty of still being, you know, human, even though she's pretty much all robot.
Does he that go kind like of, does he do the Japanese scene? Oh.
No, where he's trying to get her trying to look away, trying to get her to cover up. Like trying to mean, but she has no cares whatsoever about it. It doesn't matter to her, but it still matters to him, even though they've been working together for so long. It's one of those, I like that kind of character moment that it brought on.
So it's sort of flirtatious, but also sort of like nervous and yeah. Alex, what about you?
Oh, it's like not even flirtatious. It's kind of like what your cat is like when you're naked in the room. It's just like, yeah, like that's what she's like. It's like she's the cat. She's licking her butt. And you're like, there would be like, whoa, hold on, sorry.
You do.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, you know?
She's licking her butt. I have to check that cartoon out. Alex, what say you?
Well, I was originally torn between Julianne Moore in Shortcuts and Heather Graham in Boogie Nights, but hey, they're both in Boogie Nights, so I'm going to go with a double with Heather Graham and Julianne Moore in Boogie Nights.
Yeah, Boogie Nights is such a... The solid film, and yeah, Burt Reynolds is also quite good in that.
Julianne Moore is also slightly like she's nude for like a second. You have to really look at it in The Big Lebowski.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's very
that movie, that her character is very vaginal.
Is that what
you're coming to the voyeur cast?
Vagina.
Vagina? Coitus?
Jamie Lee Coitus, an actress?
Oh, Jamie Lee Coitus.
But again, oh, you work with her, Shecky?
Oh, yeah, she's a doll. I used to hang out at the studio when she was doing the narrating bit for that New York flick that that Carpenter guy made. Yeah, she's a sweetheart. What a doll.
Did she give you the winking eye?
Oh, she gave me the eye, all right. I'll tell you what.
I just happened to, there's another person in the room named Joe here. He happened to remind me of Super Troopers, the two German car thieves.
Yes.
And how hot that lady was. All right, who wants a mustache ride?
They're crowdfunding a sequel to Super Troopers.
They are, yeah. Yeah, someone on Reddit, yeah. Mm.
Or they're also crowdfunding the Con Men show with Alan Tudyk and
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
when I get my next paycheck. I got to throw a little money that way because
cool,
definitely. Their sample episode, little sample section, was hilarious.
Okay.
That seems to be a new way that a lot of people are getting stuff made. Because if a movie does well and it becomes a cult phenomenon, there won't be like a studio that might want to touch it. But then the people who are behind it can still go ahead and make their own show.
Well, and sometimes
technology.
But even studios are going to Kickstarter to crowdfund some of these small film ideas as sort of proof of concept. So if it can raise $5 million, then they'll kick in the other five or whatever it is.
It's an interesting time to be in the entertainment business.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look
as
at like
you leave it.
Look at video game websites, right? There used to be I guess IGN is still around, but you had all these websites with all these reviews, and now like a lot of them are struggling to make money and laying all the writers off, and then instead you get these YouTube Let's Plays and things. Right,
and that's the arena professional.
Oh, you know, AOL
writers
just laid
like
off a bunch of people from Massively. They shut down the Massively thing, and so the Blizzard blog from there crowdfunded a whole new version with all the same writers.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, a friend of mine was a writer for Joystick, and they shut that down. They sort of combined it with Engadget as some weird shell of itself. Final thoughts.
Well, what about my nudity?
Sorry, Will. I always forget you.
Yeah.
Nudity. No,
I thought long and hard about this because there's so much wonderful nudity on film. But in all honesty, Heavy Metal, bits and pieces of the Den segment, I think have to be my favorite nude scene in film.
Quite good. It's a shame they couldn't. The Den guy was supposed to be like completely naked, but they couldn't get away with that for an R-rated film.
Don't be afraid, ladies. It's just Ulatek rising to greet the Lochnar.
I welcome Billy D. Williams. It's nice to hear from you again.
Well, I'm glad I could be here. I'm just doing a little research for my role in the upcoming Star Wars movie.
I have some news to break to you, Billy. They've already filmed it. You're not going to be in it. In fact, there's a scene where Han Solo is on the bridge of the Millennium Falcon. And he sees a photo of you right in the cockpit, and he throws it in the trash.
Now, hold on. How can you do a Star Wars movie without Billy Dee Williams?
Well, it's called Star Wars, not Lando Wars. Pretty
simple. Don't worry. I intend to fix that. I'm gonna crowdfund my own movie. It's called Lando's Big Score.
That's all right, Lando. Remember, they're doing the single-character spinoffs, so you might have a whole Lando movie.
That's right. You could have young Lando as old Lando is being like fucked to death by Ewoks.
No, I'm not going to pass the torch. It's all me. It's going to be pure Billy D.
You could have a Lego
Speaking
Lando.
Of horrified, all right, I have to say the worst nude scene I ever saw was La Blue Girl live action. That was the least sexy nude scene ever.
I can agree with you there. That's a pretty bland nude scene. That's a
Was Matt there for that? Was it Matt there for that party?
I'm afraid not.
Be very afraid not.
It's like when I showed up with my narcoleptic girlfriend who was all wigged out on medicine, and she proceeded to sleep in a side room for 6 hours. He's perfectly
Wait, I
nice.
Really thought there was going to be a better punchline.
No.
I thought there was going to be a better punchline.
I bring up something for no reason, then quickly end it, and then confuse everyone.
That's the structure that fans of the sequel cast have come to know and love.
Right, and speaking of that, let's give our final thoughts of what the sequel cast meant to us before we sign out. And I do want to stress, you can go to sequelcast.com through the end of April 2015 to download episodes. Otherwise, there will be information on Facebook at facebook.com/sequelcast on where to get the episodes on. I'll probably have them on sale, like on DVD and or a USB stick if you don't have a disk drive in your computer. Alex, why don't you start?
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. The show's great. You guys have entertained many long car rides and room cleanings, and you guys are wonderful. Definitely gonna get the DVD before when the website goes and all that, and hopefully let's stay in touch via social media and all that. You guys are wonderful. Thank you very much for all the great work. Had a lot of fun.
No, not a problem. It was fun to work this out to get you on the show, Alex.
Thank you.
PJ.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
So I have to say, though, the sequel cast came to me when I was at a really tough time in my life. That was right after I graduated from our alma mater, and I moved back here to New Orleans right after Hurricane Katrina. Mm. And I was living in a trailer.
Oh,
and
wow.
I eventually we got back in our house. So it was a tough time for me. And so having this moment to share something I love with my friends meant a lot to me over the years. And while I haven't been around as much, you guys gave me the strength and the incentive to go on and do better things.
Thank you for that, PJ. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Jason?
I really liked working on this. Not so much having to watch some of the movies, but I really like talking to you guys and being able to share some of the knowledge that we had, some of our thoughts, as well as making up our own sequels. That's possibly the funnest I've had. I love every episode I'm on, and I'm determined to listen to every episode that I'm not. I should probably get started on that.
Yep.
You might be surprised to hear yourself on a few of them.
I know there's a few episodes that are permanently screwed up from bad Skype recordings where, like, the whole episode's out of sync.
Yeah, it happens.
Yep. Okay, Thrasher?
Since I've been involved with the sequel cast, recording the show has been the best part of my week, and listening to the episodes after they drop has been the second best part of my week, and it's... I kind of already did all my tearing up when I told my wife Sarah that the show was going to be ending. So I kind of, in a vain attempt to have my final thought be a kind of sour high note, is there any horrible mashup you guys would like to hear on this last episode?
Yes.
Challenge me by giving me a mashup I
got
to do.
I got one.
Okay, you can do it.
Crispin Glover Walken.
Hello, my name is Crispin because I don't know what movies he's done. I guess I'm just getting too old for this shit.
What do you mean you're from the future? I'm a dead man now.
Dunka 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 dunkachino. Say hello to my chocolate blend.
The ice is gonna break.
Was there another one?
I'm getting a bit choked.
I like to
here.
Hear Al Pacino doing Al Pacino from Tropic Thunder.
What?
Ooh-ah! I like the pussy, yo. There it goes.
Oh God.
Jeez. I want to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger one, but what's one that you can do that?
Okay, actually, I had prepared one for an episode that, not to see how the sausage is made, but an episode of recording after this one was going to be Schwarzenegger. But I guess I'll have to come up with a new one now.
Arnold.
Roseanne,
get to the chopper. We're both propping each other's careers. I think it is better if we separate. I was in July twice.
Tom Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's correct. That's the quickest you've gotten it and the most accurate you've ever been.
Yeah, I'm awful episode. At that segment.
What about Johnny Mnemonic, Keanu Reeves, plus John Malkovich?
You know, the time I was stuck in my own head was pretty incredible. I don't know what happened. I had these things plugged in me. I really like computers, and then I was in the doctor's in an office with the guy who was the voice of the Hobbit from the 70s cartoon.
I
think I got one.
And I'm on the run.
Mike deGrasse Tyson.
Wait, I got one. Okay, so, okay.
DeGrasse Tyson.
Mike deGrasse,
Keanu Reeves, John Malkovich. I know karate.
That was Woody Allen.
Faster. I'm stronger. I know how to pilot a helicopter.
Okay, well, you're Mike deGrasse Tyson.
The universe is amazing. It's an amazing place. You know, it's like Carl Sagan said, you know, science is a way to keep us from fooling ourselves. That's why we punch the universe, so the universe doesn't fuck us up.
Alex, you had one?
I'm trying to think of Marlon Al Pacino. Like, you know, something like that, you know, Al Pacino, Dunkachino, you know, something like that. Now I get my head stuck in a chair and I can't eat or drink nothing, you know.
Ooh-ha, the boy is alive.
You know, when I need a poop in the morning, I get Dunkachino.
Wait, let me see if I can do my Christopher Walken Gamayo Jack Nicholson. Oh, God, let me try. Hold on, wait. Wendy, love of my life, give me the bat. Give me the goddamn bat. I only want to bash your fucking head in.
I haven't seen a bit bum this badly since I was a writer for your Show of Shows.
Oh.
Show of Shows.
Can you do a Woody Allen Mel Brooks?
Woody Allen Mel Brooks?
Yeah, I can try. I can do the Woody Allen
I
part.
Seen you in forever.
Well, let me tell you something, Mel. Ever since I saw you schlep on stage in History of the World Part 1, it was just amazing. I mean, I thought I was old, but Jesus Christ, you really take the cake.
We worked together for 7 years. That's where you see me.
That's pretty good.
Every day we worked together. Good. Swordfish.
That's right. It's like I said, hope for the best, expect the worst.
That's mine.
No, I just took it.
I'll let you have it. You're down on your luck.
I'm not down on my luck. It's just a 12-year-old number, and you know how I feel about 12 years old.
This was almost the most tasteful Woody Allen bit we've ever done, and then you found a way to make it worse than any Woody Allen bit we've ever done. Congratulations.
It's not the elephant in the room. It's like the blue whale in the room. You kind of just have to go there.
So you think you two could pull off a bit between Spock and Egon Spengler? Just to, you know, do a send-up to our fallen comrades.
Captain, I'm detecting a Twinkie 5 miles long, weighing approximately 37,000 metric tons.
Oh, Leonard Nimoy, rest in peace.
Amen.
And Harold Ramis. God bless you both.
And shalom.
That's on that note, let me close this out.
We have any deaths to announce? Did any of us die during the run of the show?
No. Nobody.
Oh, thank God.
I would admit, I'm surprised. I honestly thought in all the time we ran the show, someone was going to die. Not necessarily us, maybe just someone who had been on the show and we were going to have to talk about it.
We're quitting before that happens.
Woo!
That's right. Leave our still on top.
Although then again, we did promise this episode would reveal who the murderer was, so maybe that'll happen here.
Maybe it'll be like a weird Final Destination type thing with like the sequel reference of the sequel cast, and then we'll have to reprise the show.
That's what
that evil juju on me.
So, yeah. This is it. You know, like when I thought about you, Sid BJ, and that sort of reminded me too. Like when I started the Sequel Cast, I was working a full time job I hated, and I also went to night school full time. And so I thought this was a perfect opportunity to start a podcast when I have no free time whatsoever. And, you know, like when I think when we did the Karate Kid stuff, the episodes you were on, I was unemployed for like a 4-month period of time. And it was the highlight of my week to work on it. It was real nice to have something to funny to go to keep my mind off of things. And then just any feedback we've gotten from listeners of the show and through Facebook and Twitter has meant a lot, and I'm glad people have enjoyed it. So download the episodes through the end of April from sequelcast.com. For the Sequel Cast, how are we going to end this last one, Thrasher?
Well, how about we mournfully sing an a cappella version of the old Sequel Cast theme?
Oh, God.
Have you, Alex, have you heard the old Sequel Cast theme?
Yes, I have. I don't have it committed to memory, unfortunately, but okay. I think I could hum along.
Okay. Who's got lyrics? Somebody's got the lyrics somewhere. Well,
we've got we've got background humming. BJ, could you do a bass line?
what's our beat?
It's kind of slow. I guess I'll start, and you can. I'm sure you'll pick
all right,
it up.
Yeah, I think
it'll all come back.
Okay.
Should we say our names, give a sign off first?
Yes. So for the Sequel Cast, this is Matt.
This is, and always will be, Thrasher.
This is Jersey Jason.
And BJ.
And Alex.
Saying,
there was a podcast called the Sequel Cast. They talked about movies.
Bow, ba, down, ba, bow, bow.
And they also talked about something else called boobies. They're the Sequel Cast. They were the Sequel Cast. They were the Sequel Cast. www.sequelcast.com.
I'm going to follow this with the full Dunkachino clip.
Because this is a slam dunk podcast.
Slam Dunkachino.
I'll drink to that, and I am.
Yep, I'll post a link to Dunkachino in case nobody knows what I'm talking about.
You have to leave in the part where you said I'm going to follow this with a Dunkachino clip, and then put the Dunkachino clip.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to
put
do.
That after the Dunkachino clip. Put in the Dunkachino clip again.
Thank you guys so much.
Oh no, thank you. Yeah.
You guys are great.
So what's next? What are we doing next time? What are we doing now?
No, but in all seriousness, the Squeakle Cast is going to happen. My chocolate blend, Attica, ooh, I lucky light. This whole trial is out of sight. They pull me back in with hazelnut too. Caramel swirl, I know it was you. Everyone wants my Dunkachino. Can't get enough of my Dunkachino. Kids from 7 to 17 lining up for my Dunkachino. What's my name? Dunkachino. Dunkachino. Sequel Cast Special is a Hipster Goblin production.